Greetings, Liddell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. Our guests today in Voices are two awesome people working in the community to promote the kingdom of God. With us is Chaplain Dave Ziegler of the St. Tammany Parish Coroner's Office and Chaplain Grace Hudson of the St. Tammany Parish Coroner's Office as well. Both of these wonderful people have been active for the kingdom of God, taking care of God's business wherever it takes them. And I think we have an awesome story of where it has taken them outside of our community. And when God opens some doors, that really kind of special. So we're glad to have both of you here today. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you.
Dave, tell us something about yourself and about your ministry.
I am Chaplain Dave. Live here in Slidell. I've worked chaplaincy mainly with hospice for the last 4 years. Recently came on with St. Tammany Coroner's Office to work as a chaplain, as volunteer as well. And so that's what I do, and I'm enjoying working not only in St. Tammany Parish, but Washington Parish as well, and the surrounding greater New Orleans area.
Well, great. Well, I understand that your work as a hospice chaplain brought you to Bogalusa. And because you're a member of the kingdom of God and because you always are looking for opportunities, I understand that God opened some awesome doors up there, not directly connected with hospice, but kind of took you in a different direction. What happened in Bogalusa?
Well, as a result of having patients up there in the Bogalusa area, what I wanted to do was to ask the Lord, instead of going up there and complaining and driving about and hearing people's stories, I wanted to do something positive. And so I started to pray and intercede on behalf of that city. And the Lord directed me that I should go to the leadership, directly to the mayor, and to ask her, is there any specific thing that we could do? And when I did do that, I had some directives in that she really didn't give me any answers. And I said, Mayor, would you possibly be able to hook me up with two African-American pastors and two Caucasian pastors that you really respect in this city and that are really doing something? And she said yes. She gave me their numbers. I got in touch with them. We began to start meeting on Tuesday afternoons and to pray and to come together to see what we could do to help out with the city up there in Bogalusa. And wouldn't you know, that all culminated to a citywide prayer meeting that we took that took place last year, November of 2015. We look back now and we wonder as to when God speaks to you, you just don't know the outcome of what's going to happen. So we saw some amazing fruit come about as a result of doing this, and we want to share that with you today.
Well, that's great. That's great. Grace, I understand you were there with Dave during this time. Tell us a little bit about what you saw.
Well, my first experience with hearing about what was happening in Bogalusa was when Dave began to come to some of our Slidell Ministers Association meetings and share his excitement about open doors that the Lord was providing for him to serve in Bogalusa. It started out like that with prayer, and then he invited me to join him at one of their meetings with all of the pastors and the city leaders. At that time, what I saw was a tremendous open door that God had provided, that he had given him favor in the city, and you could feel that the Lord was beginning to do something there. Everyone was coming together. And we were all laying aside denominations. We were laying aside doctrine. We were laying aside titles, skin color, ethnic background, financial backgrounds. The only thing we concentrated on was that we were believers in Jesus Christ.
Oh, amen.
That we believed in Jesus, and
amen.
We believed in the power of prayer.
Where did it go from there? I understand from what you said that there was some pretty significant events, some real spiritual events that happened that were not a part of your original thinking in all of this.
One of the first things that began to happen, the best way I can to describe it is to say that the Lord began to give us puzzle pieces. He was guiding us a step at a time. And one of the first things that happened was we received a listing of churches that had been praying for 25 years in Bogalusa. It was a group of churches. They would alternate their places of meeting, but every Wednesday morning for 25 years, they are known as the Citywide Prayer Band. They had been praying for 25 years for the city of Bogalusa. When we learned about their unified prayer, we decided we needed to contact them. We needed to let them know what was happening. We felt this was a real answer to 25 years of prayer.
So God was already doing something. For 25 years, he had already infected the hearts of the people up there with a desire for something, but there needed to be a catalyst. There needed to be some event, something different than the norm to make this. And it sounds to me like this was probably the role that God put you in as a catalyst to bring to a head some of the things that he'd been doing for all these years.
That's right. And as a result of our meetings that took place on Tuesdays with pastors and city leaders, we came across one of the city leaders who organized the Bogalusa Jazz and Blues Festival every year in the fall. And we decided we needed to go to the festival. So when we went to the festival, we met up with a lady who was basically promoting her museum that she was getting going there in the city of Bogalusa. And her name was Barbara Hicks, had suffered, along with her family, many, many years ago, some racial injustice back in 1965. And she basically was putting together a civil rights museum in the city of Bogalusa. So she was out at the festival promoting her museum and getting together with a building project to put that all together. Wouldn't you know, she was the first person that we came across while we were there at the festival. We walked over to her. We began to talk to her. I saw heaviness upon her. I could look into her eyes and I could see that there was something going on there. We asked her if we could pray with her. She allowed us, so we prayed with her. From that point on, it seemed like God was joining us together with someone that had a significant role to play there in the city of Bogalusa. So at that point, we became friends. She told us about more activities that she wanted to be involved in the city, and we told her about what we were doing and that we were actually involved with the Citywide Prayer Band, which was predominantly an African-American group meeting every Wednesday together to pray. And we were invited to come, and we prayed with the folks there, where they go from one church to the next every Wednesday to pray for solidarity and for unity in the city there of Bogalusa. What really hit us hard, though, was one day after one of our meetings, we were in our car, Grace and I headed back to the Pearl River area, and we got on the phone with Miss Barbara Hicks, wondering about how we should tie all this together. In our conversation, Barbara Hicks began to tell us of the atrocities that took place in 1965 and basically the racial hatred that took place in a particular park there, Cassidy Park. How there was an event where the Ku Klux Klan actually came in and they were trying to come against and to violently act upon African American people. Well, blood was shed that day, and we didn't exactly know the whole history of what took place, but she shared that with us. And as she spoke to us, she silenced herself for several seconds, and I knew that there was something going on inside of her, and I knew that she was beginning to break about that particular event. She broke, and she told us that no one had ever apologized to her, her family, or her loved ones that were damaged in that event. Well, that hurt that she felt was transferred to me in a phone call on our way home, and I knew that there was something stirring inside my spirit. But yet, we knew that we needed to get together and somehow solidify among the races on that day, and we knew that if we did that to begin with, in setting up for a prayer event, that was the order of events that needed to take place, is that we needed to have a plea of forgiveness written to present not only to her but to her family and to the city of Bogalusa about racial injustice, and that we were there to actually ask for forgiveness even though we were not the actual people that did these atrocities, but yet We knew that on the other side of this plea, that forgiveness would come. On the day that we actually came together to pray in November, we gathered the pastors, the city leaders. We asked Barbara Hicks to come forward. She did. We had a public plea of forgiveness, asked her if she would forgive these atrocities that took place against her family as well as other family members that day where there was bloodshed 51 years ago. And she took out a piece of paper that had not only her family but all these other families and read the names of all these amazing people, and she accepted our plea of forgiveness.
Oh, wow. What an awesome thing to happen. You know, as you were describing that, it reminds me of right after Jesus was baptized. He was almost the first words he spoke. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of his ministry, was that he called us to repentance and reminding us that this was the beginning of the establishment of the kingdom of God as we as Christians understand it. And it sounds like to me that a curse that had been there for 25 years, the pain, the anger, the frustration for 25 years, as there was repentance and as there was forgiveness, that it was broken.
Yes.
It was broken. The pain, the suffering was gone because the love of Christ was extended and we followed the example of Jesus. Grace, you were there for all this. What were some of your thoughts?
Well, I was there, and it was a great day of repentance. The purpose of prayer in the park when it originally started was to call the city to repentance. As the Lord unfolded that and then showed us this racial divide that had started back in the 60s, but was continuing there, we saw that healing take place. As Dave read the plea of forgiveness, I was standing next to him, and I was watching Barbara as she was listening to the plea. Behind her stood all of the African American people who had come to the park. Dave had asked them all to come down to the front. Dave and myself and all of the pastors who were a part of the day were standing facing them in a row. All of the Caucasian people who had come to the park were behind them as this was taking place. When Barbara looked at Dave and she accepted the plea of forgiveness, and when she began to read all of the names that she was accepting the forgiveness on behalf of all of these families, as she began to read those names, an amazing thing began to happen. The Caucasians began one by one to come forward and embrace the African Americans that were there. They began to put their hands on their shoulders. They began to hug. They began to kiss. They began to weep and cry. And it was a glorious time. You could feel the Lord's presence and the Lord's love there as they embraced and put aside things that had happened 50 years ago, and they came together and were reconciled to one another.
Well, you know, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And as such, our call is to bring reconciliation, to reconcile us together as individuals,
yes,
at the foot of the cross.
Yes.
Regardless of color, as all the things that you have mentioned of color, economic differences, educational differences, whatever,
yeah,
we stood as one at the foot of the cross of Jesus, accepting his forgiveness for our own inadequacies. And from that, hope.
That is, yes, right.
And
that's
from
right.
That hope. Could you speak a little bit to us, to our audience today about the thought of hope in Christ? When we place our trust and hope in him, what we can see for the future is,
as long as we have breath in our body and we know Jesus Christ, we have hope. It's hope for the future, hope for a better tomorrow, hope for peace amongst people. Reconciliation and restoration is always available because of the hope we have in Christ. It doesn't matter how far you may have fallen in sin, God can redeem you, and he can give you a future and a hope, as he has said in Jeremiah. His plans always are for our good. They're never for calamity. He said he came that we would have a hope and a future.
Amen. Amen. Well, even 25 years of waiting, 25 years of crying out to God, there was always hope.
That is right.
And in the end, the healing, probably, if I had to guess, I would guess that the result were better than anybody who was praying had ever thought that it might be.
Oh, absolutely. And everyone knew that prayer in the park on November 7th, 2015, was not the end or the culmination of a year's worth of work on Dave's and the other leaders' behalf, nor for 25 years of praying for the citywide prayer ban. It was only the beginning.
Amen. Amen. Well, just as it was with Jesus when he said, "The kingdom of God is near, repent," was the beginning.
That's right.
So it is the beginning, and probably what is and was the, maybe was in the past, the hot seat of discord, the hot seat of anger and frustration, has now become the seedbed of hope.
That is right.
The seedbed of, if God can do it here, God can do it anywhere. This is awesome. You guys are just having amazing ministry together, and I'm just so happy to spend some time talking with you today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to what we've talked about that our audience here in Slidell might be interested in knowing?
I think it's important, Bob, if we can actually even read this plea of forgiveness that was noted on that day, because what it does, it opens up a ways and means of how we can ask our brother or our sister that either we offended or that has offended us to reconcile. And I'd like to read the plea of forgiveness that we actually read that day and asked that family about if they would actually forgive what had taken place all those years ago.
Amen. And I think that would be most appropriate to do that, Dave. Could you read that for us, please?
Sure. This is called a plea of forgiveness. On this day of our Lord, November the 7th, 2015, we acknowledge with repentant hearts the atrocities that occurred years ago concerning the African-American citizens of the city of Bogalusa, and namely Robert Bob Hicks and his family, as well as others who were involved in the struggle for justice and equality. Though these injustices took place over 50 years ago, we again remember with sorrow the racial hatred and violence that caused great pain upon a people who were rising in purpose to fulfill their rightful status as American citizens. Thus, we extend our plea for forgiveness and humble ourselves to God and to our fellow brothers and sisters with the hope of reconciliation joining us together as one. As leaders and citizens of our community and the city of Bogalusa, we hereby offer our deepest regrets over the past tragedies of hatred and bigotry and promise, with God's help and intervention, to never malign this plea of forgiveness. We purpose to uphold our solidarity to one another, regardless of race or ethnicity. And at the bottom of this plea, we had some areas for area pastors and city leaders to sign, which they did sign. And this plea of forgiveness is going to be hung up in the Bob Hicks Museum that will be constructed soon with the help of others benefiting, and for our younger people to come in one day and to see what took place back on November the 7th, 2015 in the city of Bogalusa.
Amen. Well, it sounds like that was a banner day for Bogalusa, but I perceive that it has a much broader effect than that, that the love of Christ invade the community. The love of Christ invade Southeast Louisiana and all of Louisiana,
yes,
and Southeast United States. That from humble beginnings, God can make great things happen. And particularly today in these hard times that we're having, it's good. It's good for brothers to dwell together in unity.
It is.
And I'd
just like to say that the whole basis of what we did was based on the scriptures from 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is of such great need in our city, in our areas of our state and our country, and that is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And we realize that a healing of the land really needs to take place, And that it starts with humbling ourselves, praying, and asking God, what, God, are our ways that are wicked to you, and how can we repent in order that you bring healing to us and to our land?
Amen. Amen. Well, a great word for today and a great encouragement to all of us. And I'm just so grateful to both of you for having obeyed the call of God on your life to be able to reach out. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you both for what you're doing. Dave and Grace, you're a credit to the community and to the Ministers Association and to the coroner's office and to all the things that you're a part of. We thank you.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Bob.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. Where you can leave a comment or send a text. And if you have a comment on today's program, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We would also encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, and leave a comment there as well. You can check out on our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net, where you can leave a tax-deductible donation. We depend on gifts from listeners like you to be able to continue doing what we're doing. Again, that phone number is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now, Slidell. Join us again for the Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.